This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala ma'uthu rahmatil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm 23 min shahr safar 1442 al-muwafiq li 11 10 2020. Bi'idhn Allahi ta'ala, I will be your guest today, inshallah, speaking about this important topic. First of all, I would like to thank especially Firas and the organization he is leading, if he is the leader there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and success in life, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the efforts you're doing to benefit the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, I will be dealing with a topic which I consider to be one of the most important topics to be discussed in these days. Subhanallah, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tested almost everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some part of this test in the Quran. And he says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are going to test you in this life, بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. So we learn from this that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to pass through these tests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think just because they say we believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to test them? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْنَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, we have tested those people who came before them so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know, he already knows. But this is to differentiate between the truthful ones and those people who are astray, who are not truthful in whatever they say, in their iman, in their statements. You know, so these are some of the reasons why Allah SWT is testing the Ummah to segregate between the truth and the falsehood. You know, as I said, the Ummah is facing a lot nowadays, and with the new visitor that we have, which is the coronavirus, to add up on top of the lack of peace that the Ummah is going through, and many people went out of their mind. So the solution has been given to us. I will start from day one. What do I mean by the day one? The day one was the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Adam to the earth. And you know what really happened? And this is the most important thing that a Muslim should focus on, to understand that whatever happens to him in this life, it is actually because of him not bearing with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to pay attention to. He doesn't heed the message. He doesn't focus on the message. He doesn't apply that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to apply. And as such, the evil consequences take place. Adam, when he was placed in paradise after his creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you have a right to do everything in this place. You know, you can eat whatever you want, and there will be no fatigue, there will be no hunger, there will be no weariness, there will be no worry in this life. So he has a very excellent and pleasant life where he doesn't worry about anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him this is what he should be doing. But there is a restriction, and this restriction, subhanAllah, it was absolutely simple. It was absolutely simple. And this is actually the example of our life. All the restrictions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our life, where he says we cannot do this, we cannot do that, wallahi, they are absolutely simple and easy. But unfortunately, you know, the battle between you and your real enemy is continuous. He promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to block all the means that can lead you to success in this life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam, do not eat from this tree. Do not eat from it. He said, if you don't eat from it, you're going to enjoy life. But unfortunately, he was deceived by the devil. That was the real enemy of humankind. So the devil told him, shaitan told him, that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you not to take from this tree, it is simply because he doesn't want you to stay here forever. You had experienced the place. You know how it tastes. You know how excellent is the place. So if you take from that tree, you will remain in that place forever. Adam was not supposed to trust him. But this entity swore by Allah. He said to them, I swore by Allah, I'm giving you nasiha. Adam forgot the promise between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the words of Allah when he told him, do not approach this tree. He ate from it, and this is the beginning of the tragedy. Once he ate from this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took off his clothes, let him become naked, which confirms to us that the real dress and the clothes and the uniform or whatever you are having hijab as a hijab to cover you and to cover your aura from others seeing your aura is what is your taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, after this, when he blamed Adam for that which he did and he forgave him because Adam repented immediately and he realizes his mistake, Allah says, you're forgiven, but you have to go down because it is inappropriate for somebody to commit sin in that place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, but he held him somehow accountable of that which he did. He brought him down to earth based on the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before he came down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, there is a possibility for you to come back to the place. And the request is, I'm going to send along with you and your descendants a guidance that will lead you back to the original place, which is the best place that everyone should be aiming for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسِ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we send down along with you libas. Libas is a cloth, something to protect you, a shelter. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. The best libas, you know, the cloth you have to cover you and to protect your aura is the righteousness you have in. And that's why shaitan, when he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to deceive Adam and his descendants, or I'm going to deceive his descendants. He said, وَلَا تَجُدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will never find most of the descendants of Adam being thankful to you. He was speaking to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that you and I will know that the real enemy we are facing is shaitan. But is there any way out to get out of his trap, to avoid falling in his traps? Yes, there is. In the same place when he said he's going to deceive everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, no. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that, my slaves, you have no power over them. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا. And you have to know that the only one who can protect, who can guard the person, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So brothers and sisters, I guess if I stop here, anyone who is suffering from mental illness or depression or anxiety, all of these family words, if you're suffering from them, the only remedy you have, wallahi, is nothing except to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We found it so simple, very conservative nowadays. When we talk about this topic, people will think that you're not being realistic. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. If I am the one who produces this phone, you know that when it gets problem, you should come back to me to tell you what exactly should you do for you to fix it. The best person to tell you how to fix the problem that exists in something who is created by another person is to refer to that person, you know, to get the information about it. How does it work? That's why they produce manuals, you know. So that if you cannot reach that person who is the producer or the creator of the thing, you can just read the manual to see how does it work. And if there is a problem in it, how do you fix it? Who created human beings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, it is actually common sense, you know, based on the common sense, that the best person to tell you what exactly human beings are suffering from is the one who created them. And the best to tell you about your illness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously, the best to tell you about the cure for that illness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm going to be very brief to talk about the causes of this mental illness or anxiety, or qalaq they call it in Arabic, and then I talk about the solution. That's all about my lecture. It's just up to us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ. Allah, وَقُلْ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is what is going on nowadays. We like to test Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our trust and our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very weak. That's why we don't see the result. But if you're going to be truthful, wallahi, if you're honest to yourself and you're honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see the result. And you will never, and you write it if you wish, you will never be in a state of depression in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah promised to guide him and to give him a way out of his all of the problems that can face him in this life. Who is saying this? Your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this promise that as long as you have taqwa with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is going to grant you a way out. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Remember this ayah, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to come back to it. It is the solution for all of the things we are suffering from in this life. Anything that happened to thee with the heart, depression, you are disturbed mentally. The best solution you have, if not the only solution you have, is found in this ayah that I have just quoted to you. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. This anxiety and depression and mental illness, how does it get to be generated in a person? What are the causes of this? There are a couple of them mentioned by the scholars, but all of them, we can combine them and put them together in one element. All of the causes mentioned by the scholars to be the causes of anxiety, you know, the causes of depression in this life, the causes of mental, disturbance, you know, and illnesses, the causes of them, we can put them into one point, one element. They talk about the khawf, the fear of the future. You know, they talk about you not having taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They talk about weaknesses in the iman to be the cause. They talk about al-ghaflat an dhikrillah, not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they talk about you being disturbed by shaitan. And they talk about strong fear that you might fail in the future, which might lead to depression. You know, they talk about al-ihtimam bi madhhar al-akharin. You know, you look at yourself, you don't feel you're okay. You know, you have some people who have these diseases nowadays. They don't feel they're okay. They belittle themselves. They feel that other people are better than them. They look better than them. That means looking at other people's ownership and properties and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Looking at other people's belongings. And the last one I will mention here is at-tasha'um. At-tasha'um is to always have su'udhan. That's what we call pessimism. Not to be optimistic in your life, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hated so much. وَالْيَأْسُ الْمُسْتَمِرُ. And always being in a state of despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these, I can put them into one category, which is al-bu'd an Allah azza wa jal. Staying away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the source of the qalaq. That's why أَقَلُّ النَّاسِ, the least in terms of depression in their life and stress in their life and mental disturbances, the least, they are those people who attach themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the least. You don't need any statistics to tell you this. They are the least. And if you see somebody who is really dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's depressed at the same time, believe me, my brothers and sisters, there is something lacking in his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one needs to be fixed. And as long as he doesn't fix it, he will remain into that depression. Although he might be a righteous person. But you know, sometimes we will advise others, do this, do that. But when we are affected by it, we crumble. You know, you forgot that you are the one who is telling people, do this, do that. So you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you. You need to reflect. You need to remember all of those things that you have been telling people that happen to be the solution to these problems. So, as I said, all of these causes of the depression, we can put them into one situation, which is al-bu'd an Allah azza wa jalla. Al-bu'd an Allah azza wa jalla, which is to stay away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me look at these causes one after the other, and then I come and shed light on the solution itself. Al-khawf. You have the fear of losing your job. You have the fear of losing your wife. You have the fear of not getting the proposal that you propose to marry somebody, you know. This one also sometimes contribute in the increase in the depression that some people are suffering from. You have the fear of failing, not being able to succeed in graduating from your school. How do I deal with that? The solution for this is to believe in the qada and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? To remember that everything that is happening in this life is based on the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iwallah, my brothers and sisters. Why do I need to get afraid of something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen. That was the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the pen. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, قَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the pen, write. The pen said, what should I write, Ya Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, write what happened and what will happen and what is happening. The three tenses have been written 50,000 years before the creation of the universe. Whatever you see in this life is moving according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned it. Very accurate and excellent system for the benefit of those who understand. That's why if you believe in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will put all the efforts to attain that which benefits you. But if you fail, you're not going to say, this is because of this and that. You will say what? This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I know that this has not been decreed for me. What must you do after that? Move forward. Look for something else. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very simple for us. You put effort, you're looking for something. When it miss you, you already know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. Whatsoever happened to you, whatsoever miss you, will never come to you. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should know that whatsoever reach you, it will never miss you. And whatsoever missed you, it will never reach you. Imagine everyone believes in this. Why are you going to be depressed just because you lost something? Why are you going to be depressed just because you are afraid of losing your job? Nowadays, you know I'm telling the truth. There are some people who sacrifice their religion, you know. They compromise their religion. They disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a wrong way. It is always in a wrong way. But I mean, because of the silly and shallow things of this dunya, somebody is willing to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because he wanted to keep his position. He forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed everything. 50,000 years before the creation of the universe. This job that you're doing, this wife you're looking for, that you're looking for, this husband that you're looking for, this business that you're looking for, this business that you're looking for, this money that you're trying to preserve, that you're trying to get, this thing that you're looking for, whatsoever you're looking for in this life, wallahi, my brothers and sisters, if it is written for you, it will never miss you. It will never miss you. So we find so many people after the graduation, they are depressed. People will come and ask, Sheikh, can I go and do this job because this is the only opportunity I have. I have been missing opportunities, but this job is like this. And when you find out, you see that this job is absolutely haram. You see this person worried. His affairs are scattered everywhere. Cannot relax in his life. All of these, my brothers and sisters, are due to the deficiency in the belief in the qada and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, when it comes to the rizq, my brothers and sisters, I know that this is already written. And whatsoever is written for me, I'm going to get it. So all that I have to do is to use the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعذ بالله ولا تعجز. He says, always try and hasten towards that which benefits you and seek the help and the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't you ever be lazy in looking for that which benefits you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا قامت القيامة أو جاءت القيامة وفي أيدي أحدكم فصيلة يريد أن يغرسها. If there is Qiyamah is coming to you, you know that the angel of death is there. The Prophet said, at the same time you are holding a piece of a seed or branch of tree that you want to plant. You know that. The Prophet said, you're holding that one. But then you see death coming. The Prophet said, if you can be able to plant it before death snatch you, he said, do it. That's how much Islam cares about that which benefits you. So you put your effort to look for that which is beneficial for you. If you miss it, you already know that this is not decreed for me. What must you do? Just move forward. A believer doesn't know anything about worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تيأسوا من رحمة الله. And subhanAllah, as a mu'min, you should remember that whatsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you, it is better for you actually. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes perhaps you might be looking for something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not grant you that which you're looking for. Why is that? Because it is not good for you. And you might be looking for something which is harmful. At the same time, you might be staying away from something which is beneficial for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and you don't know. So I will give you a gift, my brothers and sisters, when it comes to the rizq. I know this is one of the vast majority of the causes of anxiety in this life nowadays. After I graduate, what should I do? The job, what kind of job am I going to do? Am I going to find a job or am I not going to find a job? If I marry, how am I going to sustain the family? How am I going to do this and that? No, my brothers and sisters, all of these are not meant for you. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to focus on is your present. Make sure you're doing the right thing. The future is guaranteed for you as long as you're doing the right thing in the present. And if you believe in the qadr, you know that every single thing has been planned for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed and designed your life, and it is going to go like this according to the way He decreed it. Whether I like it, I don't like it, wallahi, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pass on me in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned it. Let me give you a gift when it comes to the rizq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنِهِ وَشَتَّتَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ وَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. If dunya, you know, dunya, this worldly affairs, is the only thing you're thinking about. How to get this dunya? You worry so much about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will remove the contentment from your heart. You will never be satisfied. This is proven on the daily basis. You see people who have a lot, but still then they don't have this contentment. And my brothers and sisters, the real sustenance is what? Is the contentment. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the contentment from your heart, wallahi, you will not relax in this life, although you have a lot. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Abu Dharr, he says, Ya Abu Dharr, atadri mal ghina? He said, do you know what is ghina? Ghina is a risk. He said, Ya Abu Dharr, do you know what is risk? Abu Dharr said, yes, risk is having a lot. In some narration, he said, do you think having a lot of money is richness? Abu Dharr said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And he said, do you think poverty is having a little amount of money? Abu Dharr said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, richness is not about how much you have. Richness is the richness of the heart. That's why some people, they have a little, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in it, they will be satisfied. You will see them happy. That's the most important thing. Are you really happy or not? You Allah. That's the most important thing. It's not about how much you have. You might have one ringgit in your life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put happiness in your life. You are the richest person on earth. That's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِّكَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا أَتَى. The one who accept Islam, succeed. Especially after Islam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him kafaf. Kafaf means the amount of wealth that is sufficiently enough for you to address your need. That is sufficiently enough for you to address your need. Get it? So, you need hospital, you have something to address it with it. You need education, you have something to address it with it. You need food, you have something to address it with it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it kafaf. He says, وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَاتَى. As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you contentment from that which, in that which He granted you, He said, this is the best gift you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam and enough rizq and also contentment of that wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you're not thinking of anything in this life except dunya, he says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ فَقَرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put poverty between his two eyes. That means he will never be contented. And you know what? It's so painful, you know, in this situation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَشَتَّتَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ وَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to scatter his affairs. And that's additional factor that will promote the stress in you. Because you have a lot of work and you're not able to accomplish your mission, to make any achievement in them. And this has a cause, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. You might be too much engaging in dunya, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with you in this way. So he will scatter your affairs, and then at the end of the day, you're looking for dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And you will never get anything from the dunya except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So brothers and sisters, why do you worry so much if at the end of the day you will only get that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted for you? You worry, you don't worry, Allah will never change His decree. It remains in the way it is. That's the secret behind having those good ones. You see them always in a state of happiness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٍ إن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خير الله وإن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خير الله وليس ذلك إلا للمؤمن. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the affair of a believer is amazing. Nowadays this pandemic comes, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from it and protect all of us from it. How many people went into this mental illness and depression because of it? Strong fear of the sickness and the disease. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, if you understand what Qadr means, wallahi, you will relax. You know it is a tragedy. You know it is a calamity. You know it is really disturbing for you to be in this situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. But at the same time, if you understand the fact that Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never miss you if it is written for you, you will relax. That's the reason why Ali ibn Abi Talib said, أُطْلُبُ الْمَوْتَ تُوهَبُ لَكُمُ الْحَيَا. Look for death, then life will be given to you. Look for death, then life will be given to you. He doesn't mean you should take a sword or weapons and go and fight looking for death. No, he meant don't worry about death. Don't worry about death, because this is something that is confirmed. Whether you worry or you don't worry, it will come. So if I keep thinking death, 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 I will never be productive in my life. That's why you have some people, they just sit down, they don't work. They're not productive at all. Why? Because they worry so much about death. Umar ibn al-Khattab met some of these people. He told them, start up and go and look for rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ فِي الْأَمْرِ مُتَّسَعًا. Because we still have time. SubhanAllah. That's why the most relaxing people were the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, because they do understand what Islam means and they do understand the concept of al-qada wal-qadr. So that's the reason why I said, my brothers and sisters, why do you worry so much if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written that which will come to you? And you will never get that which is not written for you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. Whatsoever happens to you is always good for you as long as you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. He says, إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. All of his affairs are good. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And nobody get this except a believer. So it's talking about this virus. You know, so many people are depressed. You know, family lives have been cut off and destroyed. Why? Because now the husband is living almost 24 hours with the wife, and the wife is living with him, and the children also living with them. So people mess up their life, you know. Marriages are broken, you know. Many people went into depression. We have heard about a suicide attempt, you know, by our brothers and sisters, you know. All because of this. Whereas a good believer will take it as an excellent opportunity to establish a good relationship with his family members, to increase the love between them, to know each other properly. Before you used to go out, you don't sit with your family members, you don't know who they are properly. And now it is an opportunity, those deficiencies that you used to have, now you can fix it. That's the most important, one of the most important daras, you know, lessons that you can benefit from this moment. As a student of knowledge, you have been negligent so many times. You have not been addressing matters, you know. Now you have your free time. You are kept by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at home. For what? To complete the qadr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And this disease, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you, it will come. That's the reason why I say, why do you worry? Allah says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Wherever you go, death is going to come to you. And wallahi, if you live in the midst of 1 trillion people who are infected by this disease, and Allah did not write it for you, wallahi, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, it will never come. I'm not saying you should go and put yourself into that. No, Allah says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. No, you don't go and test your iman and say, yeah, if it is not written for me. No, you shouldn't do that, because Allah SWT put a cause and sabab for everything. But what I meant is, you at home, you in your office, you wherever you are, just take the necessary precaution and relax. Worrying too much will never stop the fact and the reality and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why do you need to disturb yourself? Wallahi, sometimes I get surprised when I have heard about people who are going out of their brain, who are having mental problem, you know, because of this issue. I'll be asking, why? Why? We have a lot to do, you know, we have a lot to do. But unfortunately, our life is too much, you know, too much attached to the dunya. And this dunya is outside. We're not trained how to live alone, which is supposed to be the other way around. That's why one of the scholars said, in giving us advice, he says, لا تخالط الناس, because you know, I'm telling you the truth, my brothers and sisters, when you mix with others, you're going to get harmed. They will definitely harm you. There is no way for you to mix with people without getting harm from them. This is 100% expected. If you think the opposite is going to take place, that means you have khalal, you have problem, deficiency in the way you think. What does he say, this scholar? He said, لا تخالط الناس ولا تفارقهم فإنك إذا خالطتهم أذوك. Do not mix with people and don't stay away from them. These are two contradictory advices. He said, don't mix with them and don't stay away from them. Because if you mix with them, they are going to harm you. And if you stay away from them, you will feel the loneliness. You go crazy because you cannot live alone. Al-insanu madaniyun bitab'ihi. You are a social being. You cannot live alone. You have to mix with others. So what must you do? Just be with people whenever there is a need. He says, اجعلهم كالنار تستدفئ بها عند الحاجة. Make them like the fire that you always look for whenever there is a need. So you have to train yourself, you know, to live like this. Not necessarily that you have to go out of your house, you know. If you're too much attached to your family, you're going to get into trouble when problems like this take place, you know. Ibn Taymiyyah, when they put him in jail, he said, ماذا يفعل عدوي بي? He said, my enemy doesn't have anything to do with me, cannot do anything to annoy me. He said, if you put me in jail, he said, this is an opportunity for me to go back to my books, read Quran and memorize and do things which I couldn't do them before. He said, if you chase me away from my country to another country, he said, this is, alhamdulillah, a chance for me to go and explore some other places to learn, you know, to increase my knowledge, you know. If he's going to kill me, I might be granted the shahada from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this is the best way to understand life. Al-insan ibn zamanihi, try live according to the time you're living in. And every single time, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you the way to address that time and that environment wherever you are living. You just have to address the matter through attaching yourself to the scholars. So back to the main issue, I was quoting that hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. So if you believe in this, that every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you is good for you, you will relax, you will never be depressed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدْسِ نَفَثَ فِي رَوْعِ أَن لَن تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. Jibreel alayhi salam inspired me that nobody will die. This hadith should be written with the ink of gold. Jibreel told me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, nobody will die before he accomplished that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for him. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that you're going to get this, you're going to get that. He said, you will never leave this life before you get every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So if this is the case, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. He said, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever you are looking for rizq, make sure that you're looking for it through the halal means. Because it is already written for you. Whatever you will get in this life has been written for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَن تَطْلُبُوهُ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَحَلَّهُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُنَالُ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. He says, don't you ever be deceived by the delay in the rizq, which might lead you to go and look for the rizq through the haram way. Because that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cannot be attained except through the obedience and righteousness. So brothers and sisters, I'm not here to talk about the anxiety and the mental illness, the description of the mental illness. What is it? What does it mean? Each and every one of us knows what it means. Each and every one of us knows what it means. You know what depression is all about. You know what stress is all about. You know what mental illness is all about. So here I'm just going to give you the solution. If you really looking for a solution, here are the solutions. You remember I quoted an ayah that says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe and their heart find no way to be tranquil except through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should know that only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find tranquility. This is the solution for any depression that somebody is suffering from in this life. Only when this ayah is addressed, then the advice from the psychologist can benefit. We go through all types of psychologists, you know, to address our matter. But in most instances, we're going deeper and deeper in the problems. I got some people, they became like majaneen, and the problem increased when they start addressing the matter through the psychologist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the way out in a very simple way. In this ayah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. That's why, my brothers and sisters, let's be honest to ourselves. The only remedy you have, and the real remedy you have for this, is أَن تُحَسِّنْ عَلَاقَتَكَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. To fix your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fixing your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what? Through al-Iman billah. First, to believe in Allah. And what is Iman? A strong conviction, you know, of the heart. You know, you believe in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to believe in with your heart. you say that belief with your tongue and you put whatever you believe with your heart into practice and action. That's Iman. That means you believe in Allah, that He's the creator. He has no partner. And He's the one who brought everyone, and He's the controller, and He is the one in which every single one is going to return back to Him. And you are going to worship Him without associating partner with Him in whatsoever. That's the Tawheed. That's the real solution for all of these things Ibn al-Qayyim had mentioned in his, Ibn Abdul Izz al-Hanafi had mentioned in one of his writings. He says, you should know that there is no life for the heart. Because the source of this mental illness and the stress and depression, the source is coming from the heart. Not from the brain, my brothers and sisters, it's from the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the hearts to be the source of all of these things. And if the heart is okay, everything is going to be okay with you. So this scholar said, there is no way for the heart to be in a state of tranquility. There is no way for the heart to be at ease. There is no way for the heart to be in peace. Except if this heart attach itself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why I said the main remedy and the medicine for qalaq, mental illness, depression and stress, the main remedy for this is husn al-alaqa ma Allah azza wa jal, to fix your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do I fix it? I have strong iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Six things mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to believe in them. To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you believe in His existence. You believe in His rububiyyah. That means He creates and He controls and He owns. And you believe in His uluhiyyah. You know, that means He is the only one to be worshipped. And you believe in His asma wa sifat. That means He has the names and attributes and they don't resemble any name or attributes. They are very unique in their nature. And you put these names and attributes into practice and action. How do I put them into practice and action? When I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, I should restrict my actions to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it permissible because He sees whatever I'm doing. You can see how Iman in the names and the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can regulate the life of the believer. When I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, that means I shouldn't say anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. When I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful, that means I shouldn't oppress anyone whatsoever. When I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, that means I show mercy upon others. When I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of everything, as-samad, that means I shouldn't worry in my life completely because I have somebody who is controlling everything and He said if I go back to Him, He will provide me definitely with everything I need. You know, Lut alayhi salam, when those people visited him, you know, those criminals when they entered his house, Lut alayhi salam said, I wish I have some strength, you know, to fight you back. There are many and he is alone. He said, I wish I have a strength to fight you back. Oh, I can go back to a very strong protective place and protect myself and these guests of mine, the angels. He did not know they were angels because they came in the form of human beings. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He said, may Allah show mercy upon our brother Lut alaihi salam. He forgot that he is the only one who is holding upon the strongest pillar. And subhanAllah, look at what happened to those people to show and confirm to you that definitely Lut alayhi salam was holding upon the one who is, I mean, the strongest pillar. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every day, mostly we're reading the surah, almost every day, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. When you say Allahu samad, it means the only one that you return to whenever you need something. And He wants you to come. Why do you worry? He wants you to come. If you are sick, Allah guaranteed you. Go back to Him, He will grant you the shifa. If you are looking for risk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the risk. If you are looking for wife, if you are looking for business, if you are looking for admission in the university or school or whatever, if you are looking for a job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantee you if you are to go back to Him. He's a summit, you know. So that's Iman billah. The second thing, Iman bil malaika, to believe in the angels. And there are many. The most important thing we can learn from these angels is that they are very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You learn this from the angels. They don't go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. That's how a good believer should be. Because we're human beings, we're going to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from time to time. Almost we do. We should go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. He will clean that page which is not good in our record. And then you believe in the books. The only one that is with us nowadays is Quran. That's the requirement. You believe in whatsoever is in it. You learn it, you read it, you put it into practice and action. You obey that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in it. And you believe in the prophets and messengers, all of them. You respect them. The one who is with us is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means you respect him, you believe in him, you follow his sunnah. One of the scholars said, if you can make, your wearing of the shoes, the wearing of your shoes based on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do it. That means every single part of your life, you make it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then believing in the hereafter. And this is very interesting because we do whatever we want in this life. But if you remember that a day will come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you back for accountability, wallahi, you think wisely. One of the righteous scholars was in the presence of one of the leaders, and the leader told him, how come? Whenever I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, balash that one. He told him, can you tell me my situation in the hereafter? He said, your situation is going to be one of the two people. You will be one of the two people in the hereafter. Either you are a good person, so that means you will be acting in the hereafter like a missing person who is going back to his family. How the reception is going to be? So excellent. You are missing for ages and now you are coming back to your family. How do you think the reception is going to be? He says, either you are this one or you are somebody who is not righteous. So you will be on the day of judgment just like a slave that ran away from the master. And now the master has sent somebody to bring him back and they brought him back to the master. You know the consequence. So brothers and sisters, it's a very important fact that a person has to remember all the time because it regulates the life of the believer. It makes you righteous. It makes you, stay away from any worry in this life because the real worry is that one. And that one is a fact. So you don't worry that much and you will be looking from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to do things in the right way so that you can avoid going into trouble in the hereafter when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last one is the one that I was talking about, to believe in the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every single thing has been planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing is taking place in this life except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. Which I said is the secret behind what the life of a believer being made easy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, to have the iman first, and then to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just going to give you some tips. The first thing is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way I have mentioned. And the second one is to establish the prayers. To establish the prayers. I'm just going to give you four things. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishment of the prayer. How do you pray? In the way we are praying nowadays? No, that will never take you anywhere. You have to pray precisely and exactly in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribe it. This is the prayer that helps to give you relief in your heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I used to tell them, we need some relief. When they're so tired, they get relief from the prayer. They get that relief from the prayer. They pray so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant them peace of mind. And they got it, and they enjoy it. That's why they don't become negligent when it comes to the prayers. So how do I pray? In a way, this prayer will be very effective in granting me the cure from this depression that I am suffering from in this life. First of all, you pray for the sake of Allah. Sincerity has to be there. Second of all, you have to pray with khushu. Khushu means you'll be very attentive. Your heart has to understand what exactly you do. Crying is not part of the khushu. You can pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't cry at all, but your heart is knowing exactly what you're doing. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. And third of all, you pray according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray. Calmly, not rushing. Calmly and not rushing. And you focus. And lastly, you pray on time. Because taking the prayer out of your time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that prayer useless. So we have iman, we have prayers, and we have the remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah. In the ayah that I have quoted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. He says, only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find tranquility. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy and blessing, He granted humankind, or the whole creation, not just human beings, this ability to glorify Him, to engage in doing the tasbih. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, you just don't know. But this is one of the greatest source of tranquility and peace of mind. And to grant you way out from any problem that you might be facing in your life. And lastly, brothers and sisters, recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tadabbur. Recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tadabbur. So the combination of all of these is called what? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I said, my brothers and sisters, before, the only solution you have to all of these problems is to let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be involved in your life. And that is only one way for you to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala involved in your life, which is to show dedication to that which He had revealed to you. And that's the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forget about all of these illusions. People have been trying that kind of life and they regret it. And many of them actually did not regret in this life, they regretted in the hereafter, and that was the worst tragedy. So I really advise you, my brothers and sisters, you relax. Get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala involved in your life. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fix your iman. Hold upon your religion. Do not compromise any part of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I can guarantee you, with no doubt, you will never be depressed in your life. To close, I will recite this ayah, which is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever engaged in righteousness, becomes so righteous, and he put this righteousness based on iman, this righteousness is based on iman. That means he has the strong belief, and he put that belief into practice and action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى whether male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he's a very good believer. So two conditions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid down for us to reach the success in this life. Iman and also al-amal salih. To have a strong faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to engage in righteousness. Be good. Be kind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to everyone you are meeting in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do that, He says, He promised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, definitely He promised you a pleasant life. He says, hayatan tayyiba. This is nakira. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not restrict it to a type of haya. Any kind of life that can bring success to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that one. The only thing He wants from you is taqwa and righteousness and patience. Because you might be hastening, you know, you want the result to come now. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put things in the right position. That's why He's called Al-Hakim. You might want something to come now, but Allah knows if He give it to you now, you might be in trouble. So He will delay it for your own benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ SubhanAllah. In this life you will be granted the success in life, and in the hereafter when you go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you according to the best of your activities. Best of your righteous deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that one and take the rest of your righteous deed and make them like the best one and then reward you based on that. SubhanAllah. So my brothers and sisters, it is not a joke, wallahi. Any solution you are looking for, you know, any solution you are looking for other than this which I have mentioned based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my brothers and sisters, will take you nowhere. You might see a physical solution, but wallahi, it will never last. The only solution that can sustain is to attach yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one who can protect. Allah says, وَهُوَ يَجِيرُ وَلَا يَجَرُ عَلَيْهِ. He is the only one who protects. And if He's looking for you, nobody can protect you. So brothers and sisters, let's all ponder upon this. And I decided to make it in this way because this is a reality. Talking about the description, talking about this and that, it will never take us anywhere. You can go to Google and get all of these things, but we need reminders like this. And these are the only reality we have. Other than that, to be honest with you, my brothers and sisters, believe it or not, it is nothing but illusion. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in your life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save and protect you from any form of depression and mental illness in this life. But I really urge you, my brothers and sisters, relax. Be realistic in your life. Understand the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and relax. Look for whatever you're looking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take the back seat and relax. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant you as long as you do not hasten. Hastening means to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have been asking you, but up to date, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do not give me anything. He might not give you if you start looking at things in this way. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't rush. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything and He will definitely grant you that one. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. So I will leave the platform for you guys. If you have any question, please do come up with it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen wa iyaak. And inspiring to all of us.
Barakallahu feek.
We've got quite a few questions that has come around. Can I go through the questions one by one?
Can, inshallah. Barakallahu feek.
Jazakallah, Shaykh.
Ameen.
So this is the first question. This is a question from someone anonymous. I am 21 and I'm going through a lot of things in life right now. I pray, I read Quran, and alhamdulillah, I do feel peace, but there are days when I feel all lost, and I feel like ending my life. I know my mistakes, I know what I did wrong, but these things haunt me. What am I supposed to do? I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Rahman, and that He forgives us, but some days I feel just lost. So this was the question.
The beginning of the question, I miss it, Firas.
Peace, but sometimes he feels lost and he feels like ending his life. And this person stated that they know their mistakes, but these things haunt them. So what are they supposed to do?
Yeah, they should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. You know, we have to be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm going to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time I go back, you know, I repent today, I go back, the evil consequence will take place and it will remain. But usually what we have learned from the Quran and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if a person fixes it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might test you, you know, to be acting as an expiation, you know, for you. I'll give you a simple example with those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that missed one of the battles. They were very honest in their repentance and they refused to compromise any part of their religion. One of them got a proposal actually from one of the kings of the Arabs, you know, telling him that we have heard that your friend is disrespecting you nowadays. So come to us, we're going to respect you, we're going to honor you. You don't need to stay in that state of humiliation. Subhanallah, imagine they were in a situation whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prohibited, you know, everyone to speak to them. You are staying in a place where your wife cannot talk to you, your father cannot talk to you, your mother cannot talk to you, your children cannot talk to you, people out of the house cannot talk to you, you know. Allah says, وَذَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. The earth is so big, so vast, but subhanAllah, they look at it as if they are living in one room. Imagine how much depressed a person is going to be. But subhanAllah, because they were very sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He got them out of it. This repentance of theirs was mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. That depression they used to face because of their evil attitudes, because what they did was bad. When they repented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test them, but that test was just for a while to see whether they can sustain it or not. And subhanAllah, they passed. Nowadays we crumble. I just think that, yes, when I did the wrong thing and then I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tomorrow I will see the solution is coming. No, it doesn't go like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy and love, He doesn't treat the believers in this way. Instead of having that sin remaining in your account, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes will grant you another opportunity by testing you. When He tests you, He will remove all the balance of the sins from your account. So by the time you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have an empty account when it comes to the evil deeds. So my brothers and sisters, the first thing I will tell the questioner is to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your repentance. As you said, you know your mistakes, you know your problems, address them and stay away from them. Whatsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He doesn't want, just stay away from it. Wallahi brothers and sisters, there is no way for a person to be in a state of peace as long as he's engaging in the ma'asi. So we have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back to Him very quickly. That's why one of the scholars called Ibn al-Jawzi, he said, إِنَّهُمَّ إِن تَقْتَقَتْ بِهِمُ الْبِغَالِ وهملجت عليهم البراذين فإن ذل المعصية لا يفارق وجوههم أبى الله إلا أن يذل من عصى. He said these people, he's talking about Ashab al-Ma'asi, although they are so rich, but unfortunately they engage themselves in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَإِن تَقْتَقَتْ بِهِمُ الْبِغَالِ. Brothers and sisters, you might not understand this because you don't live in the place where you find people riding horses and mules. Sometimes what they do is, they put under the hoofs of the horse some metal so that when the horse move, you know, the horse is moving, you hear the step, tak tak tak. That's why he says, وَإِن تَقْتَقَتْ بِهِمُ الْبِغَالِ وَهَمْلَجَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَرَاذِينَ. And you know that sound that is produced by those heavy horses, you know. So sometimes those people, they will be proud of riding those horses and mules. They will come to the city so that, and to show off, so that people can see them. And many people will be deceived by this. Oh, so-and-so-and-so person is so extremely rich, is enjoying his life. But you know that Sheikh, what he says? He says, فَإِنَّ ذُلَّ الْمَعْصِيَةِ لَا يُفَارِقُ وُجُوهَهُمْ. The humiliation of ma'asiyah will never stay away from their faces. You can see that this person is not at ease in his life. Many of these people, my brothers and sisters, that are living with us nowadays, if you are to talk to them, and if they are to tell you about their life, wallahi, you will never take it free of charge. I have heard one of them when he converted to Islam. He used to be a musician. I guess many of you know him. I met him here in Malaysia when he was talking in one of the lectures he gave. He said, I woke up at night. There was a time I just woke up. I was questioning myself, how come I'm not happy? He said, I have houses. He said, I have girls. He said, I have cars. I have the latest, and I'm so rich, you know. But he said, I was questioning myself at night, how come I'm not happy until now? There is no cause for this except that this person is away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the only thing that I can tell you, my brother, is to be patient and to intensify your repentance and keep repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not give up. Don't you ever say that these things are coming, wallahi, they will go out. As long as you are sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will go out. My brothers and sisters, if you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the nightmare in the dream doesn't come. Believe it or not, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, if you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even to have the nightmare in a dream, those games that shaitan usually play with others in the dream, you will not see them in your life. It's just a matter of trust. You trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you see miracles in your life. So my brothers and sisters, I really urge you to exercise more patience, you know, more patience. So the questioner, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make sure that those problems that you said you know your problem, address them properly and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stay away from them and be patient. Don't have this kind of business with Allah whereby you are giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this and you want the solution to come as quickly as possible. No, exercise more patience, the solution is going to come bi-idhni Allah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. It's fine. The charge ends.
Jazakallahu khairan. Another question has come. So this is the question. Are there any comments on seeing a counselor? I feel like opening up about my concerns and revealing about other people's wrongdoings to someone else, but I end up suppressing or keeping it all to myself, and it has become really unhealthy, and I'm starting to build hatred towards those people.
Sorry, Faraz, I was trying to fix my charger, so if you can say it again.
Okay. Are there any comments on seeing a counselor? I feel like opening up over concerns of revealing other people's sins or wrongdoings to someone else, but I end up suppressing how I feel, which has become unhealthy, and I'm starting to build a sense of hatred.
He end of what? I missed that one.
Resentment or hatred.
Hatred?
This person is keeping it all to themselves.
Okay, let me just put it for you in this way. When it comes to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sins you are committing between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best way to get rid of them is very easy. You know, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do is to identify your sins, to know what they are, and just sit down between you and Him and ask Him to forgive. You know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in your language, if you cannot speak the Arabic language, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. After the sincere repentance, You know, if you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, and what does at-tawbah an-nasuha means? At-tawbah an-nasuha, what does it mean? It means you stop doing what you're doing, which is wrong. And you have ikhlas in that, you are doing that sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. And you have intention not to go back to it. And if that sin is related to somebody else's right that you have taken before, you return it back to them. These are five conditions mentioned by the scholars. As long as you fulfill these conditions, my brothers and sisters, don't you ever worry at all, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself, He says, ask me to forgive and I will forgive your sins. And he was talking to who in that surah Az-Zumar? He was talking to somebody who exaggerated, you know, who goes beyond the limit in terms of the commissions of the sins. Even that one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he can come back to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will forgive. So my dear brother, why do you need to go and tell somebody what you're doing after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very easy for you to go out of it? Whatever you're doing in this life, including shirk, even if you're committing shirk, as long as you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your repentance, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So after you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what must you do? The past, you should keep it in the past. Just focus in the present. I will give you a gift, and I hope the question is still there. I will give you a very nice and beautiful gift to qualify that which I'm saying now. Somebody met Fudayl ibn Iyad, and Fudayl ibn Iyad asked him, how old are you? He said, 60 years. He said, oh, you should know that since 60 years ago, you have been on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are almost reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this man woke up, because he never think about it in this way. He never think of it to be like this. So Fudayl ibn Iyad told him that you are on a journey, 60 years you have been on a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, my dear brother, you're almost reaching your destination. That means you're almost going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're almost meeting him now. So the man says, ya Aba Abdurrahman, what should I do now? He said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun, what should I do now? You know what he told him? Almost exactly your question, my dear brother. You know what he told him? He said, relax and do not worry at all. He said, ahsin fi ma baqi yughfaru laka ma qad mada. Subhanallah. He said, be good in that which left for you in your life. Allah will forgive the past. Subhanallah. So why do I need to go and tell somebody what I did? Actually, my dear brother, it's wrong for you to share those evil doings with others, unless if you really need to mention it for somebody to grant you a way out. That means when you speak to a scholar and he needs to know that for him to know how to get you out of it. Other than that, you are not even supposed actually to share your evil doings that you did in the past with others. So how am I supposed to deal with them? I already know what I did. You repent, you just close your page and fix your present. Be good in the present. Allah will forgive the past. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Dharr, man ahsana fi ma baqi ghufira lahu ma mada wa ma baqi. If you are good in that which remains for you in your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your past, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the present also. So it's very simple, my dear brother. Don't worry at all. Sins that already passed, please close that page, and that's it. I have met so many people who I have been advising that Islam is very simple. They worry so much about what they did in the past. Do you get an idea? As long as you are coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept you. What else is greater than kufr? What can you imagine in this life which is bigger than kufr? You know, what is that? There is nothing greater than kufr. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept a kafir to come to Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Islam erases whatsoever was before it, how about the ma'asi, the sins that you are committing which are lesser than kufr? So relax, my brothers and sisters. Take Islam very simple and very easy, and it is like that. Just repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come back to Him. In repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept you. And don't you ever focus on the past, you know, because it will really hinder your productivity. You will never be productive if you are so much focusing on the past. You know, whatsoever is done in the past, just close that page and open a new page with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum.
Allahu khair, Sheikh.
Barakallahu khair.
The question, I hope Sheikh answered your question. So Sheikh, this is the next question. What about the mental illnesses such as chronic depression and personality disorder, which actually needs medication and treatment? My sister is one of the most religious person I know, mashallah, but since as a teenager, she has been diagnosed with those mental illnesses and she needs medicine to keep going.
Yeah, when I was talking, I'm not saying that the physical or the tangible medical approaches are useless. No, they're not. But sometimes, and actually most of the time, the issue is supposed to be addressed spiritually, actually. So sometimes we'll be wasting our time and going into this medication. And you know, sometimes, you know, not only sometimes, I guess in most instances, once you begin this medication, you have to continue. You know, you have to continue. So your life is going to be based on it. If they don't give you this medicine, then you're going to go back to that thing, you know, again. Whereby in most instances, to be honest with you, my brothers and sisters, this thing could be addressed spiritually. A person needs to readjust the way they think. You might see a person being righteous, but there is there is a deficiency in the belief he has. Some misunderstanding. You know, as long as these misunderstandings are not clarified, he might be in a state of depression. You know, we have seen righteous people, very good people according to what appears to us, but they were depressed. Does that mean Islam is not giving them the solution? No. It means nothing, but most likely they are not using the correct way given to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They need to see somebody and they need to narrate the whole story. You know, what exactly are they suffering from? Wallahi, I'm telling you, in many instances, these things, they don't need any medication. They just need the spiritual approach. Somebody just need to understand what ignorance means. When I say ignorance means there are situations which you have to close your eyes and ignore them. Shaitan will bring them, you ignore them. Shaitan will bring them, you ignore them. We have righteous people, very dedicated people, who will tell you they are not even Muslims nowadays. Why is that? Because of what? Too much confusion in life. And a lot of misunderstanding, you know. They adopt and they attach to the religion, you know. So what I'm trying to say now is that, you know, I'm not saying that a person shouldn't go for medication. If somebody is diagnosed by this kind of diseases, a mental illness where this kind of medication is needed, a person should go for it. But I would suggest to the family to approach a righteous and good Islamic counselor, somebody who, I mean, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows the religion properly, and he can advise them properly. Sometimes you might not need to go to anyone. You know, I'm talking based on experience. Sometimes you might not need to go to anyone after that. The problem will be gone. You know. But sometimes we just submit, you know. We hasten. We just want the solution now. That's why we go to those pills and all of these things which throughout our life we might remain in them. Okay? So I will repeat again. I'm not saying that we shouldn't approach those psychologists, or we go to for the medication that we receive from the doctors. No, we can do that also. But I'm just saying, let's do the spiritual approach first before we start going for the medication. The medication, that kind of medication, should be the last resort. Okay, you use this, you use that, use this, use that. Then you go and try that one also. But if you're going to use the spiritual approach correctly, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, it will work, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh.
Ameen, Faraz.
I hope Shaykh answered your question. And there will be this last question, Shaykh.
Okay, that's good.
This is the question. This is something which confuses me sometimes. We all know that all humans naturally sin. Regarding other, was our sins written to, or did we choose to sin? Or was it written that we will choose to sin? If I sin, is it right to think that it was written? If our sins are written to, does that mean that it was written who will go to hell and who will go to heaven in the very beginning?
Okay, very, very good question, actually. Very good question. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve all of us upon the truth. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to our knowledge, those creations that can think and analyze and make a decision, you know, that have aql, they use it in the way we are using it, are three: human beings, angels, and jinns. Angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them in the way they don't have that free will to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't go against Allah. Whether we say they have the free will or they don't have, but Allah created them in the way they don't go against Him. And you have the last two, human beings and the jinns. These are the ones that are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have free will to choose what to do. When you do something, Allah is not forcing you to do it. When you stay away from something, Allah is not the one who is forcing you to stay away from it. This is absolutely your choice. You are the one who is choosing to do it or not to do it. So what is it written in the Qadr? What is written in the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our choices until the day of judgment. What Ibrahim is going to choose. For instance, Allah knows, and He wrote that knowledge of His in the book of Lawh al-Mahfuz, that Ibrahim is going to choose to be delivering this lecture at this moment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written my choice. It's not that to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already picked up those people who are going to paradise, whether you like it or you don't like it, or you choose Allah, you don't choose Allah, you're going to go to that choice. Allah did not make it in that way. But since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and I wish you're going to pay attention, you'll be paying attention to this. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the way we can choose, we can deny, we can reject, you know, and He knows our choices, you know. So based on what we are going to choose in the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed who will be going to paradise, who will be going to hell. Because Allah knows 50,000 years before the creation of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that Fir'aun will never choose to obey Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun will never choose to obey Musa. And Allah knows that Abu Bakr will accept Islam and be very dedicated. And Allah knows that Abu Jahl will never accept Islam. Allah knows that Karim min al-Nas will choose to commit sin at this moment. So these knowledges, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been written about our choices. There is no contradiction at all. So if I commit sin, I cannot say this is qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is wrong. I cannot use the qadr, you know, to say that yes, because of the qadr I committed sin, this is wrong. This is my choice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my choice, and He has written that I am going to choose to commit sin. But if somebody blamed me, okay, pay attention to this, huh? If somebody blamed me after I repented, you know, when I commit the sin and I repented, and then somebody come and tell me, Ibrahim, how come you are so and so and so and you're committing this sin? I can tell him that was the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I already repented. That's why the scholar said, Al-Ihtijaj bil Qadr ba'da tawbah sahih. You use the qadr to quieten, to stop somebody who is blaming you after you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is correct. When somebody comes to me and tell me, why are you committing this sin? And then I tell him, if Allah did not write it, I would not be able to commit the sin. This is very wrong. And this is against the concept, this is against the belief, this is against the common sense. Because if this is the case, then why do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask me to stay away from it if I don't have a choice? In the Quran, Allah says don't. In the Quran, Allah says do. If I do not have a choice, why is it possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to command me to do or not to do something? That's against the common sense. So when I get the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm commanded to pray, I'm commanded to fast, I'm commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this and that and to stay away from this and that, that means I do have a choice. I have a choice to say no. So what is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of our choices in the future. Whatever we're going to choose to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it. And since He's the all-knowing, His knowledge can never be wrong, because He knows Ibrahim will never choose anything except this one that he's doing right now. Do you get the idea? And based on our choices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, then He categorizes people according to their positions in paradise or in hell. Because this one, He knows that they will never choose paradise, they will never choose the right way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already put them among those people who are going to hell. Based on what? Based on their choices. So that's the best way to address it. So just to fix that thing that I have mentioned, to repeat it so that you can understand it properly, you cannot say, I'm committing sin because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it. I have to commit sin because if it is not decreed upon me, I will never go for it. This is wrong. But if somebody blame you for the commission of a sin that you already repented, you can tell him, yes, this is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what happened exactly between Musa and Adam. Musa alayhi salam blamed Adam, He said, because of you, we are suffering nowadays. If you are patient and you do not eat from the tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never took us, you know, down the earth, you know. Adam told him, how can you blame me upon something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed that I'm going to do it 50,000 years ago? He knows that it is going to happen, you know. Because Adam already repented, and Musa came and blamed him for that. To get an idea. So this is how we should look at it, you know. So if you do the sin, this is your choice. If you do the righteousness, this is your choice. That's why those people who are saying that we are doing this because of the Qadr, if it is not decreed for us, we will never do it. I will tell them also the following. Why can't you do the good thing and say, this is what Allah SWT has decreed for me? Somebody stole something and Umar ibn Khattab is going to cut off his hand because he stole. So the man said to Umar, how can you cut off my hand for doing something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written it for me? You know, it is qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you cut off my hand because of doing something which is part of the qadr of Allah? Subhanallah, he forgot he was dealing with Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar told him, yes, you are right. It was written that you're going to steal. And it is also written that we are going to cut off your hand. Subhanallah. Qadr with Qadr. He said it was written, and it was also written that we are going to cut off your hand. So you cannot use Qadr to justify your sin. This is wrong. That's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, stay away from this, stay away from that. Because you have free will to choose what to do. So brothers and sisters, let us understand this concept properly. The best way to understand Qadr is to be busy doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. And stay away from anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to stay away from it. And believe that whatever happens to you, if it has already happened, then you know that this is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it happened, you don't bring it by yourself. But when it happened, you know that this is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Barakallahu feekum. Yes, Firaz, this is the last one you said, right?
Jazakallahu.
I mean,
yeah, this is the last question.
Okay, barakallahu feekum.
Inshallah.
Okay, thank you very much, brothers and sisters. I really wish that this is a physical meeting. I visited your university twice. This is Monash, right? Yeah, I have given a lecture in Monash. Yeah, I visited Monash to give a lecture with the Islamic Society there twice. So I was hoping that this is going to be a physical meeting, but Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were not able to meet. I really appreciate it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and ease all of your affairs and put barakah in your life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to attach ourselves to Him. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.